If you're just joining us, we're talking about Day of the Dead celebrations here on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here. Latino Arts has just unveiled a Dia de los Muertos Ofrendas exhibit in Milwaukee. It runs until November 22nd. On Dia de los Muertos, the dead are awakened from their eternal sleep to share celebrations with their loved ones. And this festival recognizes death as a natural part of the human experience. What questions do you have about Day of the Dead? Do you celebrate in your community? Tell us about it. 800-642-1234. Jacobo Lovo is Managing Artistic Director of Latino Arts. It's a Milwaukee nonprofit dedicated to Hispanic cultural arts programming. Jacobo, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate.
Well, what does Day of the Dead mean for you? What does this festival mean to you?
You know, that's a great question. Day of the Dead is such a beautiful reflection of histories of cultural tradition deeply rooted in what is known as the Aztec culture and the Mayan culture, but also this fusion that occurred when the Spaniards came to, you know, quote unquote, the New World, the Americas. So it's this beautiful reflection of the diversity of traditions that exist within the Latino community, and in this case, particularly the Mexican heritage.
And what do these festivals look like, sound like, feel like? Can you take us to one?
Absolutely. So most people's understanding of Dia de los Muertos is the way that it's celebrated in Mexico, particularly areas like Oaxaca, Michoacan, and Puebla, with the beautiful ofrendas. They are very colorful, and most of the color comes from cempasúchils or the marigolds, and the candles and the different tapestries that are draped over what's a homemade altar. So that's a version of Dia de los Muertos. Another version is the warm glow of the candles reflecting off the marigolds and cemeteries. And then the sounds are the music being played that is very traditional to the celebration. And you can always also go into the smells and taste of the celebration, because part of the altars that are erected or assembled for Dia de los Muertos, you have a component of favorite foods of the people being remembered. So it's a full sensory experience.
What is the significance of having Dia de los Muertos on November 1st?
You know, and that goes to that fusion of cultures. Dia de los Muertos was being celebrated over 2,000 years ago by the Aztecs, and before the Aztecs, the Mayans. When we have it on November 1st and 2nd, the 2nd being the main day, that's a reflection of the Catholic calendar, and that was another reflection of that fusion that happened when the Spaniards forced the Aztecs to convert to Catholicism, and the Aztecs had to find ways to continue celebrating their beliefs, so they infused it into what is known as All Souls and All Saints Days. The Catholic religion also celebrates the dead. You know, we commemorate them. So this, the like I keep saying, is the fusion of two worlds kind of happened, and it's been collected in this wonderful tradition.
Well, let's bring in a call now. Ashley is here from Coloma. Hi, Ashley.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say our family also celebrates Day of the Dead, and we come from a mixed family. My husband is Mexican. I'm Native and Scottish, so we have a huge variety of celebrations, but Day of the Dead is definitely our favorite every year. And we use it as a way to bring up the conversation of death to our children. So that way it doesn't seem so foreign and frightening whenever they are faced with a death in the family. So, but we love it. We always have an ofrenda. We're actually getting ready to set ours up today.
Can you describe it for us? What does it look like?
Yeah, so we have lots of oranges and reds and yellows. We do paper flowers just because it's a fun craft for the kids, rather than going out to buy flowers for the ofrenda. But we make skulls and decorate them out of like a flower clay. We use flour and salt, and a little bit of water and you bake them off and it hardens and they're able to paint skulls however they want. And we do one for each ancestor that has passed. And then same with photos. We put photos of all of our lost loved ones on the table. We have lots of lights and candles. We like to use oil lamps instead of candles just because I have small children and the candles might tip over a little more easier than the oil lamps.
It sounds so beautiful.
We absolutely love it.
Yeah, it sounds really special. Jacobo, I mean, this is a way that Ashley introduces death to her children.
Yeah, and, you know, that's part of the reason that Dia de los Muertos has grown so far and wide in popularity. Sure, there's been recent pop cultural, you know, additions to the celebration through movies and other types of celebrations. But it gives such a constructive and positive way to reflect on the memory of loved ones. You focus on the good memories, you know, not the pain that comes with having lost somebody. And I think a lot of people from many different cultures can really associate with that, and they invite that into their lives as a positive way to deal with something that's very difficult.
What is the significance of the skulls?
The skulls, it's a very profound reflection of our own mortality. If you go back, you know, hundreds of years, you know, that before photographs were commonplace, this is how we would remember our mortality and acknowledge it. Since the invention of photography, you know, that's one of the newest additions to an ofrenda, is that, you know, we want to remember a certain loved one, so we put a picture of them. But before, you know, the skull is that very stark, very real reflection on life and death.
We're talking with Jacobo Lovo, who is Managing Artistic Director of Latino Arts in Milwaukee. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. What Day of the Dead festival do you attend? How do you celebrate this holiday, this festival? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Jacobo, how do you celebrate Day of the Dead? Do you attend any festivals?
You know, I have the good fortune and I have the responsibility here at Latino Arts that we host our annual celebration. We have a beautiful collection of ofrendas in our gallery right now on view until the 22nd of November. And then tonight we also have an amazing concert. At home, we like to put some pictures of loved ones and candles. It's a little bit more subdued than the colorful ofrendas that you will find in our gallery and throughout parts of Mexico and in private homes. I myself am from Nicaragua, and I am a Catholic, so I've been celebrating Dia de los Muertos more along those lines. But I have the good fortune of being able to share with the community at large the way it's celebrated in parts of Mexico.
Calaveras, skulls made of sugar. Can you take us through the process of making those?
Yeah, so sugar skulls are usually made with a very simple mold without any a lot of creases in them or a lot of places where the sugar can get caught. So what you do is you have a very simple granular sugar and you add a little bit of water or a simple syrup to them so it becomes a little bit more sticky. And then you simply press it into the mold. And you let it sit. Once the sugar is set, you're able to release the mold, and you end up with kind of like a blank slate there. And then you commonly use icing, the same stuff that you would use for a cake, and then you're able to add all the little embellishments. You know, a fun correlation between the sugar skulls and the tradition is that they are a fairly new addition as well. They are inspired by the work of Jose Guadalupe Posada, who was actually a political cartoonist. And his work is very famous and known very much as part of the celebration. One of his most famous pieces is the Catrina, which is the female skull with a beautiful hat. But she wasn't invented or published until 1913. So that was her first appearance. And his work did not start being used as part of the Dia de los Muertos until a few years after his death. So we're looking at a component of the Dia de los Muertos. This is fairly new as well.
And when you unveiled your ofrendas exhibit in Milwaukee, is this an annual type of exhibit? And do your ofrendas change from year to year?
It is. We're very proud to be able to host this event every year, and it does change. We have some artists that have been participating every year, and we also have some schools. We have a university school in Milwaukee who has been participating in this exhibit for the last 7 years, along with Bruce Guadalupe Community School. And every year they bring something new, and it's a beautiful way for young students to learn about this tradition, and from a social studies point of view. And we have artists that are part of the Latino community that have been participating for just as long or even longer. This year we have quite a few ofrendas created by people from the community that are not of the Latino tradition or not Latinos themselves. And they've done such a beautiful job reflecting and representing the tradition. And again, that kind of reflects the popularity of Dia de los Muertos and how many people from multiple cultures have found a positive way to commemorate their loved ones.
There have been some ofrendas to people who have died by gun violence.
That's right. Currently in the gallery, we have an ofrenda created by Deborah Colecci, who is one of the founders of Mothers Against Gun Violence here in Milwaukee, and is dedicated to her son and a few other African-American young males who tragically have been lost through gun violence. And ofrendas have taken on this beautiful tradition of being able to commemorate and also create social activism in modern time.
We're talking about Day of the Dead celebrations in Wisconsin with Jacobo Lobo. He's Managing Artistic Director of Latino Arts. Shout out to the Fiesta de Dia de los Muertos at the Lincoln Tallman House tonight at 7 in Janesville. Day of the Dead at Art Start in Rhinelander on Saturday. How do you honor your loved ones? Is it a tradition? Join in 800-642-1234. Back for more Wisconsin Weekend with Jacobo Lobo right here on the Ideas Network. We're celebrating Dia de los Muertos here on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Urban Ecology Center in Milwaukee is holding a celebration starting at 5 in Fox Point. Elvia's Art Gallery is celebrating Saturday starting at 11:30 with face painting for kids. And a shout out to the festival in Broadhead on Saturday starting at noon. What questions do you have about Dia de los Muertos? How do you celebrate this festival? Join in 800-642-1234. Jacobo Lobo is Managing Artistic Director of Latino Arts, and he stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now. Jeff is joining us from Whitefish Bay. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say the Irish have a similar holiday called Samhain, which is what our Halloween comes from. Jack-o'-lanterns, actually originally in Ireland, they carve rutabaga because they didn't have pumpkins. And giving away candy and that sort of stuff originally was to appease your ancestors. And and the jack-o'-lanterns were to scare the evil spirits away. So it's a similar holiday, it sounds like. And it's the reason the church actually created All Saints Day, because they didn't like the Irish pagans running around, basically trying to scare the evil spirits away and that sort of thing.
Well, Jeff, thanks so much for bringing that to us. Jacobo, what do you think there, that this is a somewhat parallel holiday?
I think there are some parallels there where the Aztecs also were acknowledging the end of the growing season. But I think the greater parallel that we can draw right now is that how commercialized Halloween has become. It dates back hundreds of years and had this beautiful, rich culture behind it, and now it's so commercialized. And I think with the popularity of Dia de los Muertos, it's important to acknowledge that it is deeply rooted in tradition, and, as popularity grows, cultural appropriation is a very factual thing, and it's important for us to keep remembering that Dia de los Muertos is not just an aesthetic. It's not just about face painting or wearing a colorful shirt. So I think that's an important distinction to draw there.
Jeff, thanks so much. Jacobo, it is believed that family members who have passed, they also partake in these festivals. What traditions take place around cemeteries?
Yeah, so in places throughout Mexico, families will go to their family plots and cemeteries, and it makes for this beautiful tradition of bringing flowers and adorning grave sites. You clean them up, from the last year's decorations, or you know, just kind of the wear and tear that happens throughout the year. So you might paint your family gravesite or bring lots of flowers, and but the true beauty, really, I think, believe comes out at night, where there's no electricity in the cemetery, so everything is candle lit. You have that warm glow of the candles reflecting of that beautiful gold color of the marigolds, and it just makes for a very warm environment. And of course, you have families there together in community and playing music and remembering and welcoming the memory of their loved ones back.
How important is community to this festival?
Community is what keeps this festival alive. Like any tradition, if it's not practiced, if it's not shared, it just does not continue. Being a part of the community and wanting to connect with it is very important. It's just crucial to the celebration. And that's why we like to encourage people to learn about the history of Dia de los Muertos, so they know the actual celebration and how it should be celebrated, again, beyond just face painting and colorful decorations.
Yeah, how can Wisconsin better recognize Dia de los Muertos and really spread awareness to other cultures?
I like to say that Dia de los Muertos is for everybody. And as long as you are going, you're making a conscious effort to read about it, learn about it, and go out into your community, even parts that are of the Milwaukee or part of Wisconsin that you might not be familiar with, but you hear there's an event going on in different communities, go out, meet people that are celebrating the tradition. That is, I would say, about 80% of what I know about Dia de los Muertos is by going out and meeting people in my community, them coming to the gallery and teaching me about it. I'm not originally from Mexico. I'm originally from Nicaragua, and we celebrate it differently. And since I have the responsibility to host this celebration every year here at Latino Art, it's very important for me to learn about it as well and continue to grow in my knowledge so I can represent it well. Because, I like to say it's for everybody, but however, it's very rooted in Mexico, and it's very important for us to learn the true history of it.
Jacobo, thank you for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much, Kate.
Jacobo Lovo is Managing Artistic Director of Latino Arts in Milwaukee. It's a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing Hispanic cultural arts programming. It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a spooky story.
With Halloween this week, we thought it'd be the perfect time to revisit one of our favorite ghost stories on Wisconsin Life. This story comes from Darlene Rickert of Green Bay. She takes us inside your average cafe, one that just opened its doors to some unexpected visitors. The Rusted Bell is performed by the 9XM Players.
The rusted bell clanked when he opened the door. Leaves blew in and swirled around the pleated cuff of his trousers and his polished wingtips. He was a young man in a gray flannel suit. He looked around the room at the tables filled with patrons and waitresses carrying heavy trays. It was lunchtime and the small cafe was busy. He removed his cap and sat down on his regular stool at the lunch counter. He reached forward and tapped on the white ceramic coffee cup in front of him. The man on his left looked toward the cup, then returned to reading his newspaper. The waitress behind the counter glanced in his direction, then turned away. The rusted bell on the door clanked again. A lithe young woman entered. A leaf caught on the slightly crooked seam of her silk stocking. The short strap of a blue satin bag hung from the crook of her arm, and she tugged at each fingertip of her white glove. It was the click of her heels on the worn floorboards that caught his attention. He smiled as though this was the first time he'd ever seen her. As he twisted on the stool to rise, the button on the top of his cap made a muffled scraping sound on the counter. The man on his left glanced in his direction, and the waitress momentarily lost track of what she was saying. Hat in hand, the man in the gray flannel suit walked up to the woman at the door. She gave him a familiar smile, and he grinned. She tucked her hand in the crook of his elbow. The rusted bell was silent and motionless as they walked through the door and vanished. A man on a stool near the door shivered and wondered why. He asked the waitress if she'd seen old Pete lately.
No, but he's so quiet that sometimes he slips in and I don't even notice.
Didn't you folks hear? Old Pete died last week.
I'm not surprised. He's been heartsick since Eliza died. Been missing her a long time now.
They met right here in the cafe 50 years ago. It's kind of romantic.
Silence filled the room. No one moved. And in the sudden stillness, some thought they heard a sound, like the clank of the rusted bell that hung on the cafe door.
The Rusted Bell was written by listener Darlene Rickert of Green Bay and produced by Erica Janik and Anne Strainchamps. It was performed by the 9XM Players, Liz Stadelman-Scanlon, Stephen Montagna, Russell Wolf, and Michelle Good. Sound treatment by audio engineer Joe Hartke. The Rusted Bell was recorded back in 2012 when Wisconsin Life held a flash fiction ghost stories contest. You can hear and read all the winning spooky stories at wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lola Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast feed. And find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
New Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.